prison time is slow time. Sometimes you'd swear it's stop time, but it passes, it passes. George Dunahy departed the scene in a welter of newspaper headlines shouting scandal and nest-feathering. Stamos succeeded him, and for the next 6 years, Shawshank was a kind of living hell. During the reign of Greg Stamos, the beds in the infirmary and the cells in the solitary wing were always full. One day in 1958, I looked at myself in a small shaving mirror I kept in my cell and saw a 40-year-old man looking back at me. A kid had come in back in 1938. A kid with a big mop of carroty red hair, half crazy with remorse, thinking about suicide. That kid was gone. The red hair was going gray and starting to recede. There were crow's tracks around the eyes. On that day, I could see an old man inside, waiting his time to come out. It scared me. Nobody wants to grow old in stir. Stamos went early in 1959. There had been several investigative reporters sniffing around, and one of them even did 4 months under an assumed name for a crime made up out of whole cloth. They were getting ready to drag out scandal and nest-feathering again, but before they could bring the hammer down on him, Stamos ran. I can understand that, boy, can I ever. If he had been tried and convicted, he could have ended up right in here. If so, he might have lasted all of 5 hours. Byron Hadley had gone 2 years earlier. The sucker had a heart attack and took an early retirement. Andy never got touched by the Stamos affair. In early 1959, a new warden was appointed, and a new assistant warden, and a new chief of guards. For the next 8 months or so, Andy was just another con again. It was during that period that Normandin, the big half-breed Passamaquoddy, shared Andy's cell with him. Then everything just started up again. Normandin was moved out, and Andy was living in solitary splendor again. The names at the top change, but the rackets never do. I talked to Normandin once about Andy. Nice fella, Normandin said. Was hard to make out anything, he said, because he had a hare lip and a cleft palate. All his words came out in a slush. I liked it there. He never made fun. But he didn't want me there, I could tell. Big shrug. I was glad to go, me. Bad draft in that cell, all the time cold. He don't let nobody touch his things. That's okay, nice man, never made fun. But big draft. Rita Hayworth hung in Andy's cell until 1955, if I remember right. Then it was Marilyn Monroe. That picture from the 7-year itch, where she's standing over a subway grating and the warm air is flipping her skirt up. Marilyn lasted until 1960, and she was considerably tattered about the edges when Andy replaced her with Jane Mansfield. Jane was, you should pardon the expression, a bust. After only a year or so, she was replaced with an English actress. Might have been Hazel Court, but I'm not sure. In 1966, that one came down, and Raquel Welch went up for a record-breaking 6-year engagement in Andy's cell. The last poster to hang there was a pretty country rock singer whose name was Linda Ronstadt. I asked him once what the posters meant to him, and he gave me a peculiar, surprised sort of look. Why, they mean the same thing to me as they do to most cons, I guess, he said. Freedom. You look at those pretty women and you feel like you could almost, not quite, but almost, step right through and be beside them. Be free. I guess that's why I always liked Raquel Welch the best. It wasn't just her, it was that beach she was standing on. Looked like she was down in Mexico somewhere, someplace quiet where a man would be able to hear himself think. Did you ever feel that way about a picture read? That you could almost step right through it. I said I'd never really thought of it that way. Maybe someday you'll see what I mean, he said. And he was right. Years later, I saw exactly what he meant. And when I did, the first thing I thought of was Normandin, and about how he'd said it was always cold in Andy's cell.